In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In our youth, and I should say for some here, in your youth, every generation feels, at first, the fallenness of past generations is foreign to us, foreign to my generation. At that age, in our youth, we know firsthand that we are not made for the way things are. Things are not right. They are not as they should be. There is something in us that is better than the world around us. Maturity begins when we finally realize that what is wrong with the world is not, unfortunately, so foreign to us after all. We begin to realize that the world is the way it is because of the way things are within every human being, and that each one of us has as the task of our life to deal with the inner person. Jesus Christ was baptized at the age of 30 because by this age one has experienced all the sins. So says the Blessed Theophylact. In the first 10 years, he says, there is great foolishness. In the second, during adolescence, the great flame of desire and anger. Theophylact knows about the anger that comes to us between 12 and 21, when the first flash of anger appears in our child, maybe these days before 12. We're shocked. Something has changed. Something psychological, mental, and physical has changed in our child. Where does the anger of those years come from? It comes from the frustration of the desire that floods the body, the mind, and the heart beginning at that age, and we don't know how to deal with it. Some of us never learn how to deal with it. Some of us think that it is the true me, and we inflict the world with those passions and desires that all of us are aware of, all of us know about. And Theophylact says that in the years of our adulthood, there is great avarice. Avarice, the desire for more, the desire to own, the desire to have, the desire to make things mine. The avarice of many different kinds that is possible depends on the person. But it's all avarice, all the desire to have, to hold, and to have something that is not shared with God or with others. According to Theophylact, Jesus Christ waited until this age of 30 so that he could include all of the ages of our human life in himself and deal with them and sanctify us, sanctify our humanity whole. Have a sanctified humanity, a holy humanity there for us to step into, for us to be baptized into. Once he had destroyed the power of death over us on the cross and arisen from the dead, that humanity is there for us to be baptized into because of his baptism. Christ, God, humbly identifies with mankind in all our brokenness. None of our brokenness is foreign to him. He has dealt with every kind of brokenness. When Jesus Christ is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. The dove reminds us of Noah's flood. The dove that came to the ark when finally there was land to walk on after the flood. By our passionate desire for power and far more than we need, we, not God, threaten the world with a new flood. But blessing water signifies the return of matter to mean life instead of death, because water has always meant both. We cannot live in it. We cannot live without it. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance. John put his hand on the head of Jesus Christ, and it is he, not Christ, who receives the blessing. St. John of Damascus says, Christ God is not being baptized because he needs purification, but to identify himself with our purification. By accepting the baptism of John, Jesus Christ, who was without sin, made baptism the water of purification. As Christ came out of the water, the Spirit of God, who at the beginning of creation moved upon the face of the waters, descends like a dove. Epiphany, a new and redemptive manifestation of God, took place. Not simply theophany, the revelation of God, but the epiphany of a new force, a divine and human force in the world. By water and the Spirit, by the baptism of the one who would die to free us from the death-dealing flood of our passions, God recreates within us the inner world. As they changed in the beginning, things must change from the interior of humankind. It was from the inner man that the world fell into this condition. And it is from the inner man that things are reversed. Christ God has made this possible for all of us, for us to be able to live in a world flooded by the consequences of sin and desire and passion and walk across those waters, live in the world as though the flood were dry land. That is what he has made possible for us by his baptism and his conquest of death and his resurrection. By repentance, we can now receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and God's blessing as our Father. John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Baptism is the sacrament of repentance, the sacrament of confession and return. There are three immersions. These three immersions mean a permanent and ongoing immersion. In the icon, below the feet of Christ in the River Jordan, there is the fish, one of the earliest symbols of Christian life. And also there is a man, a little old man, and a young man riding upon a fish. This signifies the death of the old man and the birth of the new man who is able, by way of Christ, to live a life in the midst of a world that is flooded by the consequences of the fall and continuing human passions that dominate the world. We can make what efforts we can to organize and control this chaos with our human abilities without God, but they never succeed. They never succeed in the world. They never succeed within us ourselves. In many icons, there is a tree with an axe at its base. And that is to remind us that God cut down the tree that did not bear spiritual fruit. It was so with the old Israel. And it will be the same for those of the new Israel that do not live the new life. In the icon, the angels stand by in submission and service. They have been present since the birth of Christ that we have so recently celebrated. Unless we turn away from God, divine powers stand by always as our guardians. They are in the icon to signify the necessity of inner spiritual warfare. We cannot simply rest on ourselves as we are. We will sink into the flood and drown. We often fast from food in order to humble the body and to humble our sense of strength and our sense of independence without God, a sense that many of us value much more highly than God himself. But we do not ever fast from water. The human body can go 3 weeks without food, but only between 3 and 7 days without water. Water is life. And we do not bless water in order to separate it from the rest of the material world as unique, as holy water, separate from the world. We do not make it holy water to make and keep it separate from our life. The sanctification of water, the drinking and use of holy water, is done as a means of including whatever is blessed with it. We bless our homes because we do not want to keep them apart from God. unless we do. Unless we want to live in the world without God, live in our homes without God, and visit His place periodically, not wanting Him to interfere with our lives, but living the way of the world. That is how it became in the Old Testament between the chosen people and God. They sought to imprison God in the temple, but He invaded their lives, even entered into the world as one of us. Our homes are blessed because we are including them as extended families of the church. There is a sense outside of Orthodoxy that the family used to be a common understanding in my youth. The family is the foundation of society. The family, a group of families come together and they form a church. That is congregationalism. Families congregate and they form a church. With us, it's the other way around. Families are an extension of the communion of saints, the eternal and ongoing communion that began with Pentecost, comes down into our own time. And we go out and we bless our homes in order to include them in that communion, in that greater divine human family. And that's why we call our homes little churches, little extensions of the life that we have together, that we share with the saints, that we share with the apostles, where we are able to call God Father as brothers and sisters in the family of Christ. In a sense, to a certain degree, as St. Timothy Orthodox Church is to the eternal wholeness of the church, our homes are to this church of St. Timothy. That is the reality of hierarchy, the reality of the icon of all saints, where Christ is at the center, and around Him are the apostles, His disciples, and all of those who have left lives separate from God behind in order to enter into this communion. And wherever that happens locally, that is a church. And wherever the families that are members of that church, that are part of this hierarchy where Christ is the center, and everything extends out beyond Him into our lives, that is the nature of the family home that we go and we bless on this celebration of the feast day of Epiphany. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.